Hello everybody, we are back again. I'd like to say a few things regarding the subject we are reviewing, 1 Corinthians 15:44. As I said earlier, we have a difficult subject here, and no matter what, how long the explanation will be, it will take time to digest. And also, the problem is twofold. We tend to think that when we find something in the scriptures, we need to understand everything thoroughly. I think that's wonderful. However, there are miracles, as I said earlier, and there are mysteries that are difficult to explain. The word explain means to take out and make it so clear that everybody can see it. But now, if we were to explain this thing thoroughly, we would have to understand not only the process, but also the state. And the truth is, we have not experienced either the process or the state. So that's one of the problems. I said that the difficulty is twofold. One is in our desire to see a full explanation of something, and a full explanation would be in understanding the process of glorification and the state, what it is to be in a glorified state. So I am the first to admit that I have not gone through the process, and I have never experienced staying in that kind of state. Now the other problem is that the words that we use are in the way, and in the way of us, in our way, and also in Paul's way. You mustn't imagine that only we are lacking the terminology. The Apostle Paul also did not have the terminology to express the same thing. And I want to, perhaps if I dwell a little longer on this idea, you may understand better what I'm talking about. Now notice in verse 36 of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 36, he says, "Thou fool, that which you sow is not quickened except it die." He doesn't say the seed, he just says that which you sow, because he's not talking about seed only, it's because he is broadening the concept here. And look at verse 37, "And that which you sow not that body that shall be." So, you do not sow the body that shall be. So he's saying the body that will come about is going to be different. But obviously now he's using the word body. But we have to, if we understand what is happening, there is a difference between that which is sown and that which is raised. You sow, he says, but you sow only bare grain, and it may be wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body, as it has pleased him, to every seed of his own. Now, let's put a seed down. Here's what a seed looks like. Let's say that's what a seed. He is saying, when you sow this thing, you do not expect to see something like this. That's not what you expect to get. A sort of glorified seed. That's not what you're going to get. Instead, you sow that, and you get something like this. You get something like that. So the sort of thing you sowed is small, it is round, it is very smooth, but what you got is something totally unlike it. He is saying, look at the surprise that we have. We we saw this small, round, and smooth, and shiny thing, and yet we get something like a tree coming out of it. And he says, how do you explain that? So now we are caught into this kind of problem here, trying to explain how how being confused by our own drawings. In other words, when I write stickman on the board, I say, this is the one, and I put it in different color up here, and we get the impression that we are going to have exactly the same shape and the same appearance as now. And I don't want to say that, but I have to do it that way because I don't know of another way. Paul's example is better. He says, you put a seed in the ground, and it looks like this. It's shiny, it's small, and it's smooth. But what you get is something entirely different. So he is saying, what you sowed is not this kind of thing that you were going to get. It's something else. You sowed something else. He uses the word body, but by body, he does not mean that these two things look the same. So he says the body that you sowed here is not the body that you got. But notice how he uses the word body. In one place, the word body means round and small and smooth, and in the other place, it means something totally and different. So it's in one sense, the word body means something naked, and on the other side, it means something with branches and leaves. So he's using the word body in a in a special way. He's saying, well, look, let me take this word and let's call it body. It is body, all right? This is body. But he doesn't mean the same thing here. So this stickman that I put is rather limited. And perhaps I should not do a stickman. But I thought I did that in the beginning with permission, saying that we are not entitled to hold me to my geographical and spatial designs. So I admit that they are not so good. But let's go on with this and see what is happening. Look at verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. Did we read verse 38? He says, God gives it a body as it pleases him. And to every seed, he gives its own body. So, you have two seeds. They look alike. This seed looks like that. But this one gives you a vine, gives you something entirely different. So, well, I mean, look at that. It sort of goes like this. Totally different from that. And yet they may look alike. So God gives it a different body. You use to sow these two things, and you expect to find something similar, and you're surprised. Similarly, when we grow up in this world looking like that, we naturally expect to find the thing we understand. Now, if you ask me what I would like to be in the future, I would like to be as I am now, because that's the only thing I understand. I haven't got a clue as to what it is to be in a glorified state. And yet, I believe God knows better, because I see it here. He does that. That's naked. This one is full of beauty. It's the entirely different thing. And Paul says, God gives the result to everything. And similarly with flesh. He says, let's take flesh. Let me erase all these things and put flesh here. So Paul says, we talk about flesh. That's flesh. Ah, he says, but then we look at that. He says, how many types of flesh we have? Verse 39. He says, all flesh is not all flesh. It's not the same. But there is one kind of flesh, of men, of beasts, of fishes, and birds. So he says, well, look, when you think of flesh, when you come and see how it blossoms out, it blossoms out differently. It doesn't blossom out the same way. Here you get human beings, and here you get beasts of the field, animals, and then you get birds, and you get fish, and they all look different. They're all different. So he is saying that everything is, there isn't just flesh. So you don't talk about it, and they are not the same. So everything is glorified. You know, this one shines in a particular way. That one shines in a different way. This one shines in a different way. God is the architect. He knows what he's doing. And later on, he does the same thing with the stars. He says the shining of the sun is one kind. The moon shines differently. And they all shine. They all shine, all stars. But is the shine the same? No, it's not. So on one side, you call them all shine, but it's not the same. So similarly, we talk about body. Ah, yes. We talk about body down here, but body here is different. And this body is different, and this, and so on. So you mustn't make the mistake of thinking that because we have lungs inside us, we are always going to have lungs inside us. Because what are we going to do with them? That's the mistake that we make. Because we think of a human body as the best possible solution for us, and we don't realize, we tend to think in those terms. And what Paul is saying is something else. Look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Corruption means the body. Here's a man comes into the earth with certain things. He has to eat. He has to go to the restroom from time to time. That's a necessity of this life. In the next life, we are not going to be like that. There aren't going to be toilets on every corner. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. What does that mean? Well, it's in this life, we go through various stages. We are very ugly. We are less ugly. We are very beautiful. And when we die, we stink, and we go right into the grave. We as part of this being. It's part of our existence. It is part of this order, right, to be horrible looking. There are people who are very ugly. Do you mean to tell me that those people will always also be very ugly? And so we have bodies that need to be washed. Otherwise, they have an odor. So what's going to happen? It's going to do the same thing. He said that's what he means by dishonor. It is sown in one way. But, he says, it is raised in glory. Those things will not be around. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. I do not know what it means to be raised in power, for me to have power. I have no idea. I have never been in that state. But I know if I am a body in the same way as I am now, and I have to walk around everywhere, then I need the legs very badly. I don't think that's going to be the case. The legs are necessary for us to get around. But can I manifest myself with legs? I think so, because Christ did the same. Can I explain it? No, I cannot. It is sown a natural body. And I said the word is psychic or suke or whatever you pronounce the word means. It means is the body that came alive when God breathed into it. That is the body that is produced from the earth, from the corrupt earth. But it's going to be raised a spiritual body. Means the word spiritual means from heaven. It does not mean a spirit body. There is no such thing as a spirit body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. In other words, Paul is saying, well, look, here is this thing here, this seed. Let's call it a body. But do we call this a body too? We can call that a body if you like, but it's not a body in the same sense as this is. So he's taking the word body from here, and he says this is going to be a body. Now, you mustn't press that word, body, too much. That's why I put it in quotation marks. Now, I would like to say he is using it loosely, but the correct thing is he is borrowing the term from here. That's where he got it. And you mustn't press it, because human beings will not have will not need internal organs. They will not need instruments for getting around. They will not need, are we going to have eyes to see and ears to hear? What exactly, how is man going to hear? I don't understand all that. Definitely understand one thing, the word spiritual does not mean spirit, because the word for spirit is something else. It would be, Paul would have written this word. But if he said, a body that is that, then he is contradicting himself, because there is no such thing. So this, if you use this word for a body, then that's terrible. Then I would say to you, I am sorry, I don't understand, I would have to erase the board and say, we're going to have a pneuma, whatever that means, I don't understand it, please don't ask me a question, right? Because a body of that nature is not a body. It's a non-body body. And it doesn't make sense. But neither does Paul say that, actually. Look at verse 49. Paul is very careful here. He says, as we have borne the image of the earthy. Here is the shape. We have a shape. We have an image of the earthy. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's a different image. Entirely different story here. And look at 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. What does that mean? I am showing you something that is unknown, something that is incomprehensible. That's why I complain when people ask me to explain it. I don't want to explain it, because I'm not foolish enough to attempt to do that. So behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be, here is the word, the magic word is changed. We shall be changed. Now, of course, they say, well, in that case, when we are changed, are you saying then we come up into from the grave, we come up out of the grave with a body? That body is mortal. And then something happens here, and that becomes immortal. That's how I drew it on the board earlier, because in order to illustrate it. Now, I have to go that kind of through that process, because I have a blackboard with me that I have to write one word, and then I have to write another word. I am limited in space. I have to do that. But the truth is not that. Here is what the truth is. Look at it in verse 52. He said 51. He says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. It's one event. So all this I'm describing on the board takes place in one go, just one, the billionth of a second. And we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then, when does it happen? It doesn't happen in the way I describe it step by step, because I have to do that. My sentences have to come in word after word after word, because that's the only way you and I can speak. But in a different kind of world, we do not have to go necessarily word after word after word. You may say, oh, well, explain that man then. Well, I know that this is a limitation of this world. When God speaks, he does not go word by word by word. Proof. Because he speaks to you and he speaks to me at the same time. How is that possible? I mean, the whole church around the globe is praying to God at the same time, and God hears them all at the same time and answers them all at the same time, because he is not limited. He does not hear. We speak to him and say, Our Father, and so on, I need this. I have to put those words one after the other. But that's not how he hears, and that's not how he answers. He does not have to answer with words. We are limited. Similarly, the shape, the form, the state will all be different. Human beings then will be of a different state, and you must not make the mistake of thinking that we shall all have the same body, but just a different color, just because I put it like that on the board. I'm using the board only in that sort of loose sense. And the Apostle Paul, as I said, calls the seed a body and the tree a body, but those three things don't look at all similar. He says it's God who will give it the form and the shape that it needs to have. All we need to know is that this is going to be a glorification. So, when we say that we shall have a glorified body, means we shall be glorified. Glorified. That's all we mean when we say a glorified body. It's a sort of loose word. Now, if you ask me, what does that mean now? I don't know. I have no... I know what Christ did with it in this state. He can go through the wall. So you may say, what do I need in order to go through the wall? Well, you need to remove your teeth for a start. You need to remove your bones because they don't go through the wall. You need to remove your skin because it will not go through the wall. Need to remove every part, because the wall is a wall. The wall consists of metal and wood and stones and so on. So if you want to go through it, you cannot go through it as a body. Now, what if you are like smoke? You cannot go through the wall either. So you've got to be changed into something that would go through the wall. Can you manifest yourself this way? Yes, you can manifest yourself and walk with two legs, and you can manifest yourself and eat fish on the Sea of Galilee. But can you turn back again and go through the wall? Now let me see. There's one scripture I would like to. There's one more scripture I would like to read. By the way, that if somebody says, "Well, look, I don't understand this," therefore it cannot be true, then my answer to you would be, if I ask a child how many legs he has and he says two, and I ask, as I said yesterday, how many a horse has and he says, well, many, well, he may not understand that, but that doesn't make it untrue. So, what you understand is irrelevant to what is true. Something can be true whether or not you understand it. In Romans, let me just check the scripture first of all. Right, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So, when this is true, we shall be glorified together. And that, there is no doubt about that. Now I have some questions to answer. Somebody asked a question, is it possible that there may be, that there is another hypostasis of God? How do we know there are only three hypostasis of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Why not a fourth one? Maybe in the future we shall find that there is a fourth one, or a fifth one, or a sixth one. Is that possible? The answer is no. Here is why. If there is a fourth hypostasis of God, then Christ did not reveal the Father. In other words, if the Old Testament reveals God and the New Testament reveals God, and there is something we have not yet understood, then we, in what sense do we know God? And if this fourth hypostasis exists, then obviously it has nothing to do with our salvation, because we know nothing about that. It has nothing to do with creation, because we don't hear anything about that in the Bible. So if it has nothing to do with creation, and it has nothing to do with our salvation, pray tell me, why do we call it a hypostasis of God? See, God is interested in us. He is our Father. He is interested in our salvation and in creation. So, that, for that reason, I say, no, obviously not. In any case, the question is a question, could it be? Is it possible? Well, that's the argument. So if nothing has to do, if God is not connected with salvation and with creation, then what is the meaning of the word God? It loses its meaning.